when discussing the idea of davar hanikar, that something which is noticeably distinct from the parts of a mixture surrounding it is not considered to belong to the mixture, it's not considered mixed up with the ingredients surrounding it, we have to ponder for a moment, what is the lamdos, what are the mechanics of this halacha which prevents tseiruf, which prevents a connection between two ingredients that are each independently noticeable. And we already mentioned that Rabbi Yonis and Eibshitz thinks that the lamdos is that it's a davar sheyesh lo matirin, that it could be that this mixture, this tairoves, is really, truly a genuine mixture. It's a genuine tairoves. The problem is that it's a tairoves which a person can make mutter by removing the treif ingredient. And therefore, it is not going to become batel. The treif ingredient is not going to become batel in the tairoves. And even though this is not a classical davar sheyesh lo matirin, because a classical davar sheyesh lo matirin is where there's an iser, a forbidden item, which soon will become mutter, and that gets mixed up with other mutter food items. And we say that the mutter items are not mevatel the aser item, because the aser item will eventually become mutter, and then you won't have to rely on bittel. In our case, though, there is a permanently forbidden item that gets mixed up with permitted items. But we will again say that bittel doesn't work because the permitted items are eventually going to become mutter. So why should we rely on bittel? Why should we need to utilize bittel and permit the person to eat a treif ingredient in a kosher mixture? Let him instead just remove the treif ingredient, and then the kosher ingredients will remain mutter. This is a little bit similar, I believe, to what the Rashi says in Ksav Yad, the manuscript of Rashi, which is printed now on the side of certain new Gemaras in Zvachim Daf Ayin Aleph Amud Beis, where Rashi explains that the reason that a davar hanikar does not become batel is not because it's impossible for there to be a mixture between the davar hanikar, which is aser, and the dvarim hamutarim. But rather, says Rashi, the reason there is a mixture, they're considered to be a tairoves, but in this tairoves there's no safek. In an ordinary tairoves, so there's a safek when you're taking a bite or taking a spoonful out of a tairoves, you don't know whether this spoonful contains heter, pure heter, or whether this spoonful contains iser as well. But in the case of a davar hanikar, because it's noticeable, so you know whether this spoonful contains heter or whether this spoonful contains iser. And therefore, even though there is a tairoves here, this is considered to be a genuine mixture. Nevertheless, says Rashi, it's not a permitted mixture. There is no bittel, because part of what contributes to bittel is the safek. It's the uncertainty about whether or not you're eating heter or you're eating iser with every bite. And in this case, there's no uncertainty, because you'll know for sure when you're eating the iser. And therefore, it's a tairoves, yes, but there's no bittel. So this is very similar to Rabbi Yonis and Eibshitz, who also seems to say that a davar hanikar does become part of the tairoves, except that it doesn't become bittel in the tairoves. It's not nullified, because the entire tairoves is a davar sheyesh lo matirin. And this, by the way, will help explain the shita of the pre-megadim in Hilchos Brachos. Because the Chayi Adam says, look, in Yoredeya, when it comes to Hilchos Taruvos, to Iser Veheter, so a davar hanikar is not considered part of a taroves. And therefore, says the Chayi Adam, by Brachos also, a davar hanikar should not be considered part of a taroves, and you should have to make a separate bracha on the Dvarim HaNikarim inside of a vegetable salad. But according to Rabbi Yonis and Eibshitz, and according to the Rashi Ksav Yad, really a Dvar HaNikar does become part of the Tairoves, just that it's not bottled in the Tairoves because the Heter is Yishlom HaTirin, the Heter which becomes Usr through connection, or which would be Mevatel the Isser. It's a Dvar Sheyishlom HaTirin. So you can't eat the whole mixture because you can be matier part of it. You can be matier by taking out the forbidden item. And according to Rashi Ksav Yad also, according to Rashi Ksav Yad, itaka is a tairoves, but there's no element of safek. And therefore, perhaps by Hilchos Brachos, the Prima Gadim is right, that a davar hanikar is mitzarif to the tairoves, just that when it comes to Isser Beheter, so it's not going to be batel. But when it comes to Brachos, since it's mitzarif to the tairoves, then everything is fine. And you don't need to make a bracha on it because you made a bracha already on the majority ingredient of the tairoves. However, I believe that the more classical Lamdish explanation of davar hanikar is against Rabbi Yonis and Eibshitz and against the Ksav Yad of Rashi. And that more classical explanation perhaps can be found in the printed Rashi on the page where Rashi says that a davar hanikar is not batel b'tairoves. It's not that it's not batel in the tairoves, but that it's not mitzarif to the tairoves. It does not become part of the mixture at all. How is this? How is it that it doesn't become part of the mixture? So this is based on the logic of the Chayei Adam. The logic that a mixture requires proximity and also similarity. When something is indistinguishable, when every single piece of the mixture, you can look at every single piece and say, I'm not sure whether this piece is mutter or whether this piece is asr, then every piece is similar by virtue of the fact that it's nichnas lesafik, that the same uncertainty, the same doubt can be entertained about every single piece of the tairoves. And that similarity, the similarity that every single bite, every single spoonful is subject to the same uncertainty. They're all similar in that we're uncertain in the same way about each of them. That's what's mitzarif them. That's what connects them. That's what combines them. But a davar hanikar, there's no uncertainty on the davar hanikar, just the opposite. We know with certainty that the davar hanikar is asr, and we know with equal certainty that the dvarim hamutarim are mutar. So therefore, the davar haasr, the davar hamutar, are not similar at all. They're not subject to the same uncertainty, just the opposite. They're subject to opposite certainties. Since they're not similar, they don't combine in a tairoves, even though they're proximate to one another, even though they have retzifus, even though they have smichus. We already mentioned one possible test case between the lamdus of Rabbi Yonis and Eibshitz and that of the printed Rashi, and that is when there is a tremendous hefseid or a tremendous tircha that's involved in removing the davar ha'asr. According to Rabbi Yonis and Eibshitz, just like davar sheyesh lo matirin is going to be batel if there's a big hefseid involved in removing it or in creating the heter, so too, davar hanikar, under some circumstances, will be batel in the tairoves, maybe even though it's nikar, as long as there's a hefseid meruba that's involved in separating it out. But now perhaps we can suggest a second nafgamina between these two interpretations of why davar hanikar remains usr in a tairoves. According to Rabbi Yonis and Eibshitz, the definition of davar hanikar should not vary based on the level of similarity that the davar hanikar has to the dvarim hamutarim. But according to the printed Rashi, it's possible to differentiate and to say that there are different levels of similarity that the davar hanikar can have to the dvarim hamutarim. Let me explain what I mean. Classical davar hanikar, and there's some lashonos like this, maybe in the Ran, in Maseches Beya, and in other places. Classical davar hanikar is something which you can look at and differentiate by sight from the dvarim hamutarim. The shaila is, what happens if it's something which cannot be differentiated by sight, but can only be differentiated by taste? So right now you look at the taroves, and you can't tell by sight which ones are mutter, which ones are asr. So from the perspective of the eyes, every ingredient in the taroves is the same. Every ingredient is nichnas l'safik. They're similar to one another. But from the perspective of the palate, only once you taste it, only once you taste it, will you be able to discern the difference between them. So that's not such a classical case of davar hanikar. So what should the halacha be? According to Rabbi Yonasan Aibishitz Lechora, it's pashut. It's pashut that this is still a davar hanikar as long as it's easily separable. But according to the Rashi, the printed Rashi, this may be defined as not a davar hanikar, because right now it's not visible to the eyes whether this is mutter or whether this is asr. Only afterwards, when you taste it or when you investigate it, will you discover its true nature. It's possible, though, that even Rashi would agree and say that being nichnas l'safik just to the eyes alone is insufficient, and you need to be nichnas l'safik even for the palate. So in this connection, some sugyos later on are somewhat relevant. The Gemara discusses, it says, that a safik trefa, an animal which is a safik trefa, it's possible for such an animal to become mixed up, to be mitstarif to a tarovis of kosher animals. And the Gemara asks, how is it possible that a trefa is not nikar? Every single safik trefa should really be nikar. And the Gemara gives three answers. And one of the answers that the Gemara gives is that we're talking about a drusa, an animal which was pounced upon by a wolf. And such an animal, in its lifetime, you cannot determine whether or not it's a trefa. But after it dies, you can take it apart, dissect it, and examine its internal organs. And based on that examination, you can determine whether or not the animal was a trefa in its lifetime. And the Gemara, according to some Amoraim, accepts that this is a case of a valid taroves, even though there's potential to check on the animal after it dies. So why is it a valid taroves? After the animal dies, we'll be able to discern whether or not it was a trefa. So it should be a davar hanikar, because you'll be able to tell. You can't tell by sight. You can't tell by looking at the animal outside. But after the animal dies, you can dissect it and you can determine whether it was a trefa or not. So it should be a davar hanikar, just like something which right now you can't tell by sight whether it's trefa or not, but as soon as you taste it, you'll know. So here too, is you can't tell by sight whether it's a trefa or not, but as soon as you dissect it, you'll know. So it should not be batal in taroves. It should be considered a davar hanikar. So I think that Rabbi Yonasan and Apshitz will answer and say, well, that's a tircha yisera, it's a hafsid meruba. It's a case where davar sheyesh lo matirin would also be mutter. But for Rashi, we can say something else. For Rashi, we can say that the reason that it's not a davar hanikar is because in many ways it's very similar to all the other components of the taroves. The same way that the other components of the taroves are nichnas l'safik, this animal is nichnas l'safik. And the fact that through some complicated procedure you'll be able to tell and to notice whether it is really a trefa or whether it's not a trefa, that doesn't detract from the fact that to the eye this animal is nichnas l'safik. And there's more to say. It's not so pashut for Rashi. Again, you could say that for Rashi, it's maybe a kasha. Maybe it's a kasha for Rashi because the chora, this animal, is different from everything else. Its internal organs are not subject to the same safik. If it's a treifa, then you'll be able to know very clearly that it's a treifa. On the other hand, you could say that no, the fact that it's going to be noticeable afterwards, even though it's going to be noticeable afterwards, since right now it's not noticeable, therefore it's not nichnas l'safik. L'maisa, we paskin that something which does not nikar la'ayin, you can't tell by visual sight that it's distinct and that it's usur, but that ultimately will be nikar to the palate, once you taste it, is considered a davar ha-nikar, it is not batal in a taroves. So we have to understand how this Gemara stims with halacha l'maisa. The Gemara seems to indicate that a safik treifa, which ultimately you'll be able to tell whether or not it's a treifa, is considered to be part of a taroves. So how is that different from something which, according to the eye, is part of a taroves, and based on the palate, later on you'll be able to tell that is not part of a taroves. So l'chora, you have to say that when the Gemara is discussing a treifa getting mixed up, it doesn't mean the treifa is part of the taroves. It just means, how is there a mitzius? How is it possible by mitzius for such an animal to get mixed up with kosher animals? And the Gemara gives a mitzius. Here, you won't recognize them. But avada, there's no havamina that a treifa should be batel in the herd, because a treifa may be considered a davar hanikar according to what we pass in halacha l'maisa. So the havamina is not that the treifa should be batel because that the treifa should be batel because it's not nikar. The havamina is simply, the havamina of the Gemara is not that the treifa should not be batel because it's nikar, and the maskana being that it should be batel because it's not nikar. The havamina is, how can the Mishnah tell us this case of a treifa shenis ariv? There's no mitzios of a treifa shenis ariv because you'll always be able to recognize it. And the maskana is, no, there's going to be a case of a treifa shenis ariv where you won't be able to recognize. But in achinami, this treifa shenis ariv, which you can't recognize, is still not going to be batel. Pashut that it won't be batel, even without the reason of bali chayim chashivi v'lo batli. The reason being, because it's a davar hanikar.